Andrew Fuller was a 19th century Baptist minister, pastor, and theologian. And he said these words. He says, "It is not under the sharpest, but the longest trials that we are most in danger of fainting." When Job was accosted with evil tidings in quick succession, he bore it with becoming fortitude. But when he could see no end to his troubles, he sunk under them. And folks, I have entitled what I want to say this morning, "When the trials of life begin to overwhelm us." And the reality is this, that when the trials of life begin to overwhelm us, we can lose touch with God. The writer to the Hebrews, Hebrews 3:12 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." He's writing to believers, to the Lord's people. Matthew Henry succinctly puts it this way. He says, "Unbelief is a sin that besets even good men." And here in this passage, folks, that we have considered, and the opening verses particularly that I want to look at, we see a time in the life of David when unbelief seems to have gained the upper hand in his life. And as we come to this passage, I want to remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Because he says concerning things that are written in the Old Testament, he says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." A man said in the past that the only Old Testament Scriptures that he ever read were the Psalms and the Proverbs. That's sad. Because you see, as Paul said, those Old Testament accounts, the historical narrative that you have there, is written for our learning and for our instruction, so that it might not be a case of history repeating itself. So what we can learn, what can we learn as we look at these verses together? Well, first of all, I want you to note, folks, that in this condition, we can forget who we are. Verse 27 begins, "David thought to himself, one of these days I shall be destroyed by the hand of Saul." Now, certainly, as the hymn writer puts it, the arm of flesh may fail you. You dare not trust your own. And we know that the promises of men can be very fickle. And Saul has promised David, in fact, just in the preceding chapter, David has had two opportunities to take Saul's life, but he didn't do it. He said, "He's the Lord's anointed. We'll leave it to the Lord. We'll leave it to the Lord." And Saul has promised David that one day he would sit upon the throne. But here's David in this low condition. And he says, "I will perish one day by the hand of Saul." He lost sight, folks, of who he was. David was the anointed of God. David was God's choice. And so when you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, it was not Samuel that chose David. In fact, as we know from the biblical record, if it would have been up to Samuel, he would have chosen Eliab, the first son of Jesse. He never thought. It wasn't even Jesse who chose David. Because you remember when the prophet Samuel came, that Jesse had David out on the hillside looking after the sheep. He wasn't even in the equation. No. It was the Lord who chose David. It was the Lord who said to Samuel, "Bring the younger." And when he saw him, he says, "Anoint him. He is the one." David was God's anointed, chosen, succeeding Saul to the throne of Israel. But in this moment of lowliness, in this moment When the pressures of life had come upon him, he lost sight of who he was. And he says, Saul will eventually get the upper hand. Now, we are told that day after day, Saul searched for him. And undoubtedly, it was unrelenting pressure. But David, instead of thinking that eventually the enemy would win, surely he must have, should have thought, one day I will triumph over Saul. But you see, folks, that can happen to any of us. And as we continue to look at this passage today, we do not look at it pointing the finger at David. As we have said earlier, we look at it that we might learn from him. We forget who we are. And dear friend, today, you and I can do that. You're here today as a believer, as a Christian. You're a child of God. Listen to what the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And he goes on, now you are the people of God. It's interesting to note the language there. It's not that one day we will become the people of God. I tell you today, brother and sister, if you are in Christ today, you are a child of God. You are his child. You are his peculiar possession. He has set his affection upon you. And you must remind yourself of that time and time again, because the work of the enemy is to rob you of that fact, is to rob you of your identity in Christ. That's what the devil wants to do, to just have you think you're no different from anyone else. Now, alongside that, that doesn't give us the grounds for high-mindedness. Not at all. We walk with the Lord in humility, but we do not deny the fact that we are the Lord's. Is there someone here today and you're at a low place in your life as a Christian? You need to be reminded of that. But just as I pass on from that, let me also say, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, the Bible reminds us you're not God's child. I talked to a man recently, and that's what he said to me. He says, but Martin, sure, we're all God's children. No, we're not. That's a lie of the devil. If you're not a believer today, you're not a child of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, you're the children of wrath. Now, we were all like that. I don't say that in a high-minded way, my dear friend. I was once a child of wrath. But today, by God's grace and by his mercy, I am his child. And you can be so too. You can be so too because of his grace and his mercy. But you've got to realize who you are. And particularly as a child of God, we've got to remind ourselves. But there's almost a domino effect here. Because when we lose and we forget who we are, the second thing I want you to notice is this, that our faith then can begin to falter. Our faith can begin to falter. David said, one of these days I shall be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Now we've got to ask ourselves the question, well, whose was this idea? It certainly wasn't the Lord's. It was David's. Because an interesting fact is, when we turn back to 1 Samuel 23 and verse 14, listen to these words. Day after day, Saul searched for David. Doesn't end there. But, God did not give David into his hands. So the very fact that this thought came into David's mind that he was going to perish by the hand of Saul, it wasn't the Lord that placed it there. Because day after day, the Lord was protecting his servant. David's destiny was the throne of Israel. Saul was not going to get the victory. So where did this idea come from? Well, it's very interesting because if you're using the Authorized Version, it says this, David said in his heart. That's literally it. He said in his heart. And as one commentator says, he consulted with the most deceitful part of his whole being. What does the prophet Jeremiah remind us in Jeremiah 17 and 9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And David consulted with his own heart. He consulted with his own inner being. And he thought to himself. And dear friend, let me say to you today that isn't this so often what happens? It's when you and I take up the steering wheel. It's when you and I get into the driving seat, so to speak, and we put God, as it were, and I say it respectfully, in the passenger seat. That's when we're consulting with our own heart. That's when our faith can begin to falter. You know, think back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, when all of Israel were gathered there and the great Philistine champion Goliath came out and he bellowed at them day after day, give me a man, give me a man. And every one of them trembled. There wasn't a man amongst them who was prepared to stand up to him. But David came along. What did David say on that occasion? Listen to the words of God's servant. Let no man lose heart because of him. Let no man lose heart. This is David. The Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the Philistine. That was when he was riding the crest of the wave, dear friend. But as you and I know, you don't go through life always on the crest of the wave. That's not how it is. In fact, there are many times you're in the valley. And it's when you're in the valley, my dear friend, listen, it's then that the heart of man can be desperately deceitful. Because now David says, I will perish. I will perish by the hand of Saul. What a change of heart. And here, my dear child, is this. Here's a health warning. Satan will always, he will always seek to exploit you at your most vulnerable moment. He fights dirty. He'll kick you when you're down. And you've got to be aware of it. Honestly, listen, dear friends, the more we go on in life, the more we begin to understand, and young people, I say this to you, the devil has no concern for your life whatsoever. I say it to all of us. He has no concern for your life whatsoever. His ultimate purpose is to destroy your life. Why? Because he knows his destiny. His destiny is already sealed. We're reminded in the book of the Revelation, the lake of fire is prepared for the devil and his angel. And my dear friend, the devil seeks to come and to trample upon us. Child of God, do not let him do it. Again, let me remind you of some words from the Apostle Peter. He says, your enemy, the devil, what's he like? He's like a roaring lion. A lion. Think of it physically. I don't know about you, but I tell you this, I wouldn't want to be thrown in to a cage with a lion in the physical. And Peter says he's like the lion because he roams about seeking someone to devour. To devour. But here's the thing. David was about to give up. David had this moment of losing faith just when victory was around the corner. Now, we have the hindsight of Scripture. We know this. that on the battle that was going to be engaged in next, Saul would lose his life. I remember reading on one occasion, the darkest hour, folks, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. I wonder this morning, are you in a dark place as a child of God? A dark place that you haven't shared with anyone? I say to you, by God's strength and by God's grace, do not give up. Do not give up. Why? Because the light will dawn again. It will dawn again by God's grace. Our faith can begin to falter, and we follow on from that. The third thing is this: we can make wrong decisions. We make wrong decisions. He says, the best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. You see, folks, when we lose our faith in that sense, when our faith is weak, when we lose the patience that we're reminded of, for example, in Hebrews chapter 6 and 12, it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. When we lose our faith, when we lose our patience, when our courage falters, then we hand the opportunity over to the enemy. And the thing is this, sometimes the decisions we make can have seemingly satisfactory outcomes. And it's interesting because the inspired historian goes on here and he tells us in verse 4. Listen to how David reasoned here. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere, and I will slip out of his hand. Now listen to what's recorded. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Perfect. We would say in our language he was a shrewd operator. He got it spot on. He knew exactly what he was doing, and it worked to a T. It was perfect. Saul heard about it. Saul says, well, there's no point in me worrying about him. The Philistines will take care of him. We'll leave it to them. And he gave up. It seemed as if it was perfect. When in reality, it was all wrong. It was all wrong. Why? Because he was being led out of his own deceitful heart. And one of the things, and we'll see it just in a moment as we conclude, one of the things that David repeatedly did up to this point was to inquire of the Lord. He always sought the Lord about things. But here in this point, you will notice, he thought to himself. And he went ahead with this plan. And for 16 months, David lived amongst the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, and he lived a lie. He lived a lie. We don't have time to go into this and bring it out. But what did he do? He went on raids, and he wiped out men, children, the whole works. It was a genocide that he acted. But when he came back to Achish, in order to curry favor with Achish, he told a lie. He was wiping out the enemies of Israel, and in actual fact, he was bringing back booty to Achish, and he was telling him that he was defeating the Israelites. Isn't it small wonder, my dear friend, that the Lord Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. It is absolutely impossible. Impossible. And that's what David was trying to do here. Gordon Kitty, in his commentary, says this. He says, brilliance and success are no proper measure of the rightness of a course of action. Brilliance and success doesn't guarantee that what we're doing is right. How do we measure it? We measure it when we're guided of the Lord. Now, my dear friend, let me be honest. There have been times in my life when I have acted like David. I have made my own decisions. And I can say to you, I look back on those times and I can look back on them with regret. But I'll honestly say this. I'm not alone. I'm sure there are many in this congregation today, and you have made wrong choices. And I'm speaking to the Lord's people. You have made wrong choices because you have acted not having sought the Lord, but having sought your own heart. And as God's word tells us, that which is deceitful. And friends, just like living with the enemy, there is absolutely nothing to be gained in it. Nothing to be gained whatsoever. You will live a lie. You will live a lie. And I say that to you this morning. That's the message that I believe the Lord has placed in my heart. Is there someone here today, and God comes to your heart, and because of decisions you have made, you're going to live a lie? The things that happened before, as Paul says, were written for our instruction and our learning. Oh, my dear friend, listen. Please allow the Lord, not what I say. What I say is irrelevant. But let's allow the Lord to so penetrate into our hearts and into our lives that we make right choices, that we follow His way, that we know His blessing. Alan Redpath, making a comment on this, he says this. He says, it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy in the life of a child of God when they yield to the pressure of Satan and God leaves them on their own. They are reduced to scheming and planning, and when driven into a tight corner, can only escape by deceit. Now, that's a direct reference, obviously, to what went on in David's life. That's how he lived. Scheming, planning, living by deceit. Dr. Redpath says that's a tragedy. Child of God, do not let that happen. Do not let that happen. And here's the final thought. How can all this be reversed? That's why I went on. We need to get in touch again with the living God. You see, we began as we looked at this. And all this came about because we had lost touch with God. But it can be reversed when we get in touch. Now, and again, we don't have time to look at this, but I tell you, God sovereignly intervened in David's life. David was being asked by Achish to fight against the Israelites. Would he have went? We don't know. Because God sovereignly intervened and stop the situation from arising. So we can't speculate. But what he did experience was when he went back to Ziklag, and that's why I read those verses, the whole place was burned with fire. The Amalekites, and again, isn't it amazing when we disobey God? Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites. He didn't do it. And what do they come? They come against David. And they carried everyone away. And David found himself in a situation where David wasn't just on his own here, folks. David had 600 men. He had women, children, all under his care to protect, to provide for. This is the pressure that he had. I would suggest to you today, there's not one of us in this place has known pressure like this. This was the pressure this man was under. But now these people, they decide, we'll stone him. Just at that moment when they need it the most, they thought, we'll get rid of him. They were so angry. What happened? Well, as we read, just like the prodigal, David came to his senses. David once again inquired of the Lord. There's a lovely verse there. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It warms my heart. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So my dear friend, today you may be here, you may be despondent, you may be in a place where you're at the point of making wrong decisions. What can happen? Amazingly, miraculously, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord again. We get back into that right relationship with Him. And as a result of that, we know His leading and His guiding and His blessing upon our lives. Oh, but you might say, but Martin, you don't know today. You don't know the state of my heart. My heart's in an awful place. How could I ever get back to God? How could I ever get back to inquiring of the Lord? Listen to these words, dear child. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Listen to this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Is that how you feel today? Despair? Despondent, crushed, thinking to yourself, but I couldn't do what you're saying. Oh, dear friend, take courage. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That's what He loves. He loves people who are contrite in their hearts, who are broken in their hearts, to come to Him, to confess their sin. And what does He do? He draws near. The ears of the Lord are upon the righteous, and the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Oh, my dear child, cry to the Lord again. Renew, recommit to Him. And what will happen? He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. He'll change around that course. And my dear friend, listen today. Remember those words of the prophet Jeremiah, brought by the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 29. Someone brought them to me, and a little plaque, I have it in my home. And the Lord speaks to His people here, people whom He said were in captivity. And maybe today you feel yourself in a Babylon. Maybe you feel yourself you've been carried away, and it's because of your sin, and it's because of your rebellion against God, as a child of God, that you're experiencing this. But here's God's word to your heart. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Who's it spoken to? It's spoken to a people who were in rebellion, who were experiencing the chastening hand of God. And what does God say to them? He says, when you come to me, when you seek me, I know the plans I have for your life, and I'll restore you. Is that the word that God has for your heart today? Up to this moment, you've been going your own way. You've been doing your own thing. And just like in the life of David, it seems as if it's going to work. But I say to you earnestly, and I say to you lovingly, if it's not the way the Lord's directing you as His child, it won't work. It won't work. And you need to get back to that right relationship. Folks, Paul said to the believers at Corinth, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's none of us today can take the spiritual high ground and think to ourselves, this would never happen to me. In those moments of deepest despair, it's in those moments we can lose touch with God. And it's in those moments that this can happen to us. Listen to the instruction. Listen to its warning. But be encouraged by the fact, as I said to the boys and girls, the Lord says to you today, I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. Take that home with you. Let's pray.